This is Dr. Jay Corsandi, and you're listening to The Best Night Ever, the show that's dedicated to helping you get your best night's sleep. Over the last 20 years of treating patients, I've worn many hats, including dentist, engineer, psychologist, artist, corporate executive, and more. I've found that the key to success, health, and longevity lies in sleep, and that's why I created this show. I want to teach you how to make sleep your best friend. Join me on a journey to uncover cutting-edge science, life-changing tips from renowned experts, ancient and modern sleep secrets, game-changing routines, and lifestyle hacks that will educate, inspire, and ultimately help you get the best night ever. All right, attention all passengers in the terminal. Your flight is now boarding. Well, not really, but kinda. Hey everyone, this is your trusted co-pilot with a special announcement. In this episode, we're going to go on a journey, and I want to tell you more about that. I've been fascinated by the power of the mind and our ability to activate, create, and open by using simple techniques like breathing, meditation, and in this episode, light. Yeah, you heard me right, light. So I get excited when I see things and technologies and people who are changing lives, especially without the use of prescription drugs or surgeries. In this episode, I'm going to share with you my recent experience with a device called the Lucia Number 3. Now, this thing is fascinating, and that's why I want to do a whole show about it, because it's literally a light, and it's white light. You just literally sit under this thing, close your eyes, put some headphones on, listen to some music, and it's going to flash a sequence of white LEDs and a halogen bulb and really take your mind on a ridiculously fantastic journey. And it's so powerful. And I'm going to be sitting down with Allison Pellissier, who's the USA distributor for this light. And her company is called, and you're going to love this, the Traveling Light Machine. And that sums up Allison to a T. Basically, she's kind of a roaming digital shaman is what I called her. And she just goes where the light calls her, where people reach out to her and shares this with people. And it's just mind blowing. And she actually came over to my house one night and I had some friends over and everybody was just blown away. So, a little bit more about Allison. She's a 200-hour yoga instructor, and the best way to describe her is a light guide. She has an extremely open heart and a warm smile, and I know you're going to love what she has to say and talks about in this show. And speaking of this show, here's what we're going to talk about. What the Lucia light is and what got Allison into becoming a light guide in the first place. How does the light work and what is it doing to you? Why does the light work and why is it so powerful? And it really is powerful. It's unbelievable. What is it doing to you on a brainwave and cellular level? The benefits of using it as part of a wellness routine. The shift in our modern consciousness and awareness these days. The comparisons between the Lucia light and plant-based medicines like ayahuasca, which has become very trendy these days. How the technology can help with sleep. And so much more. So as always, if you want to learn more about me or these technologies that I feature in these shows, you can follow me on my Instagram account. If you're on Instagram, I'm there at sleepbiohacker. I am someone who likes to hack my sleep. So on Instagram, it's sleepbiohacker. And if you find this podcast interesting, or if you've been a listener of the show for a while, please feel free to share this with someone or a couple friends who might be interested in learning about these things as well. Or even a review on one of those podcast hosting sites would be a fantastic boost and help me out and help me get more people on here to share with you. And without further ado, off we go. Okay, and we are live. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so we're here to talk about this thing called the Lucia Number 3. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, it's not, is it Lucia, Lucia? What's the best way to pronounce it?
You can basically pronounce it however you want. It comes from Italian, Lucia, but here in the US, we generally say Lucia.
And Lucia means light, I think?
Lucia means light.
Kind of like loose, I guess, in Spanish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me, I guess, let's go back a little bit with you and tell me how your path ended up being in this niche or field or category or technology, but what you did before and how you ended up in this world.
Absolutely. So my background starts more with philosophy and political science. It's what I was originally interested in. And then I was really getting more into psychology as well in my undergrad. And since I was a child, I really cared about, you know, changing the world. So I felt like ever since I was little, this really big mission and important need and call to, you know, make the world a better place. And I couldn't really understand why we were doing anything but that. So that's kind of been one thread that's continued through my whole life. And for me growing up, education was really powerful. So it was kind of a great place where, you know, everything was positive, you know, positive feedback. If you tried hard, you did well and all of that. So I ended up actually doing a master's degree in international education and development, looking at ways to work with, you know, third world countries. From a lot of my travels and experiences abroad, I was curious about interweaving, you know, education and development and things like that. But kind of what I found through the process of studying that and going deeper into that was that, you know, it's always telling people what to do and telling people of other cultures, giving them advice. And ultimately, I came back time and time again to the fact that how do we know what's best for anyone outside of ourselves? And so I had a really kind of deep existential crisis around that and trying to understand, you know, what I felt comfortable with in terms of donor priorities and all kinds of different ways that, you know, even when we try to help out, things can get crazy. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle of that, I was kind of going through my own experiences and life. And I had, you know, I was going through a pretty challenging period. My father passed away, who I was really close with, and brought up a lot of unresolved trauma from my childhood that kind of just suddenly came out. And, you know, this is a fairly common thing. You know, sometimes our childhood stuff, we just totally block out and then something happens and it's like, oh, hello, here we go. So I just was kind of suffering from classic PTSD imbalance of nightmares and, you know, depression that came with that from never getting enough sleep and just that fear of going to sleep, which is pretty intense. And so all of that was kind of happening. I was really high functioning regardless and still doing well in school and all of that. But, you know, I just didn't feel like myself in any sense of that. And then a friend of mine invited me to a gallery in London and said, there's this really amazing light. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I can't tell you anymore. You just got to go. And so I almost didn't make it. In the last moment, I went running out of my house, caught the train, and ended up there in the gallery. And it was really awesome because they said, we can't share any of the experiences until the end. Hmm. So I really had no idea what I was in for. And they kind of took me into this almost like tent little spot and like, okay, just close your eyes. And what happened was remarkable. I felt incredible joy when the light turned on. And, you know, they did little demonstrations and then, you know, want to do longer one. And I was like, yes, absolutely. And in that longer experience, I really went deep, like very deep, and actually visited with my father who had passed away and had these really beautiful experiences of being in forests and by this lake and really resolved a lot of deep, deep things in my heart in that session. And then the 20 minutes ended. I came back. I'm like in a tent in London in a gallery. And I'm like, wait, what just happened? Yeah. And it was really mind blowing. I was like, I couldn't even understand it. I actually went running out into the rain to just kind of be with myself for a minute because everyone's like, how was it? And I was speechless. And what happened was really remarkable because, you know, my sleep changed. I had went from having like 8 months of not sleeping and couldn't get through the night. And it was kind of getting worse and worse in terms of the night terrors. And I was researching on Google, is it normal for adults to have sweating nightmares? Like, you know, I was like really in a rough spot. And all of that went away. Like there was something that just, I came back to my body. I think my nervous system finally relaxed. Yeah. And I slept through the night. So obviously that was a huge, huge experience for me. And that really set me on the path of working with this light. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I started dreaming about it. And then I realized it kind of fit all of the categories of what I was looking for. It was a way to, you know, help people help themselves. So it wasn't about like doing anything for them or directing them in any specific way, but it's holding space for people to remember how perfect they already are and come back into that frequency and really share from that space.
It's interesting you mention that because my experience with this light, which we'll talk about as we go on with the show here, is I saw it online and this was like months ago and I was intrigued and I started learning more about it, watching videos, looking at experiences and people talking about it. I said, I really need to try this out. I really need to try this out. I don't know if I sent the message out to the universe, but a few months later, I'm at this biohacking event and the light was there and Jessica was there. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited. I was like a kid in a candy store. I was so giddy. I'm like, I got to try this. Can I please try it? She's like, yeah, no problem. So with minimal expectations. I mean, I kind of had an idea of what it's going to do and what to expect, but I really didn't want to dive too deep into it because I kind of wanted to be as open as possible. Mm-hmm. And then she set everything up and I got in there. And I seen like literally the instant that turned on, mm-hmm. it was like somebody's flipped the switch. Like you said, it's just totally transformative. And I don't know, do you never forget that first time? You know, I don't, it's like almost like a meal or a first date or a first kiss or something. It was just like, wow, it left an imprint on me. And then at that point I was kind of hooked like you. And I said, I need to learn more. I need to do more. I need to get more of this. And I've been going down that path and I've been talking to you as well in the past. And I'm just so excited to have you on here finally to learn more about this, to share it with others. I think this is something that's fairly not known in the big world. So let's talk about what it is. I guess people are probably listening going, what is he talking about, right? So we're talking about a light, but tell for people listening, walk me through what the experience, what it is and what the experience is.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Lucia number 3 is a lamp. So it's actually a lamp that's controlled by a computer and it has a central halogen bulb that has a pretty wide spectrum of light. And then it has, the practitioner system has 8 LEDs and the home version, which is the newer home portal we have, has 4 LEDs. But regardless, the LEDs are flickering at different frequencies that are programmed by a medical neurologist and psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. And the halogen is kind of this warm, welcoming light. So that's kind of, the halogen is kind of the hallmark of the first experience.
Is that how usually the experience starts off with the halogen first? Okay.
Yeah. So usually, you know, you have your eyes closed and this warm glow kind of comes over you. And so that's really beautiful. It really helps open your whole body up. And it's a thermal light too. So it's very, you know, thermal warmth.
Soothing.
Soothing, reminiscent of the sun. It's kind of like laying back. It's like, you know, the whole experience is kind of like taking a vacation from your own life, which is pretty awesome.
I love it already.
You don't have to go anywhere. You just close your eyes. And so that warmth starts and then the flickering begins. And there's a bunch of different sessions and the different sessions aren't like a straightforward brain entrainment. So it's not really like, oh, do this to relax or do this to amp this part of your brain. Because ultimately what the light experience is about is actually helping you get into a harmonic state of brainwave consciousness. So your brainwaves, when you see it on the EEG in harmony, they're all lined up together. It's almost like octaves, like a singing bowl or something. So it's really beautiful because everyone's brain is a little bit different. And there's, you know, for people out there who know about brainwaves, a lot of people are like, oh, what brainwave is this? You know, we correlate, oh, theta with, you know, a certain type of relaxation or, you know, beta with talking and thinking. And absolutely. But what that really means is that that brainwave is elevated. And so it's not really like the rest of the brainwaves stop or something like that. These rhythms of the brainwaves, you can think of them as kind of like the polyrhythms of information in our brain and signaling are continuing all the time. And we simply, when we entrain to a certain state, we're elevating that brainwave state. And there's a few things there. I mean, you have to be a little careful if your brain waves are all in good shape. You know, you're a little careful about experimenting too much with long entrainments into certain brainwave states. And of course, you know, for people with, you know, like ADHD or things like that, then it can be really, neurofeedback can be really powerful. But we do recommend that, you know, you go to someone who's licensed and can see what's going on first before just doing too much of that. I mean, you can listen to binaural beats on YouTube and things like that. But I've been speaking actually with a lot of other sound healers and sound masters, and they say even the binaural beats, a lot of the ones that are released these days aren't exactly, you know, the most beneficial for your brain. So you just got to be a little discerning out there as this, you know, kind of things gets more popular. But anyway, with the Lucia, it's really about each session is like a song. So it's an invitation to dance. And so there's different frequencies with different sessions and certain people resonate better, more with certain sessions than others. So it's kind of, you know, getting to know, you know, kind of you set a first date and then that's powerful. But then it's like, okay, let's figure out what we like to do together, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So you can kind of go deeper into the experience that way. So there's different levels of intensity. So that includes brightness level and also just the type of flickering, not only the rate, but how like the ratio of on to off.
Yeah.
And things like that kind of change the experience as well. But yeah, it's a whole world in there. There's about 120 pre-programmed sessions and the practitioner system, you can actually create your own sessions. And there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I've done a number of these sessions now. And like you said, it's a different experience every time. I think the first time was probably, you know, mm-hmm. it's always the first, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's a matter of starting to then figure out what you liked, what you didn't like. But the interesting thing that you said is there's like 100 different programs or mm-hmm. recipes, I guess. Mm-hmm. But even within those, each of your experience and with one of those can also be completely different each time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what's fascinating about it. Yeah. And ultimately you get what you need in that moment. So there is a kind of this thing, you know, like when, especially in our first time, if we don't know what it is, you know, we don't have any ego blocking.
Which is nice.
Yeah, which is great. You know, there's expectation is one of the most challenging things to work with, I do believe. And so, you know, if we can, as much as we can let that go and be open to the experience, the deeper we can go. But even then, you know, sometimes what's most important and crucial for your body is just relaxing. You know, I've seen people have just like incredibly deeply relaxing experiences that, you know, maybe they're not as visionary or, you know, certain things that we might want egotistically from the experience. Yeah. But, you know, it gets you exactly what you need. So it's very balancing.
Yeah, I think there's a tendency for a lot of people, especially in the biohacking world, they want to take it to the max. Mm-hmm. It's like, just dial it up to 10 or 11 or whatever you got to do. But like you said, you have to take what your body needs or mm-hmm. get what your body needs, because sometimes it could be a pretty intense thing and sometimes it could be a very subtle thing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because sometimes I've even found with myself that sometimes I think I want like a strong light session and then I start a strong one and I'm like, okay, whoa. Dial it back. Like actually, you know, sometimes when we think we want that intensity, what our body and, you know, is craving the most is gentleness. Yeah. And sometimes that gentleness can just be soothing on another level that can take us to the next place with something else. And so it's an interesting dance with all of this. And yeah, and even then, it's like if you do a really strong one, doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to have, you know, a vision of somebody or something like that. It might just be really intense, different fractals and stuff, which is also super cool.
Yeah.
But sometimes the less intense sessions where they stay more in one frequency for longer or don't change as much as when people have otherworldly experiences.
Yeah. So let's talk about the experience here. So mm-hmm. you're sitting under a light. It's mm-hmm. it's flickering. It's white light. What you experience, or at least what I experience, is, like you said, fractals, patterns, designs, sacred geometry, colors, warp tunnels. I mean, you name it. It's hard to describe until you actually experience it, but that's the best mm-hmm. way I can describe it. Mm-hmm. A session for, you know, is about what, 20, 30, 40 minutes? I mean, mm-hmm.
Yep. So a session, yeah, we always start with a 2-minute demo to kind of test how you feel. It is a flickering light, so it's really not for people with, you know, a history of seizures or epilepsy, but it's a really rare thing and most of those people are quite aware of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so generally we start with the 2 minutes, tuck in, and then there's a way to stay kind of at that intensity level, or you can go into a stronger demonstration. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately you go into a 20 to 1 hour long session.
Is there an optimal time to do it? Morning, night? Does it matter?
It's a good question. You know, it really depends. If you're trying to get your sleep cycles in order, say you have jet lag or something like that, then, you know, doing it in the first thing in the morning can be really helpful. But it really depends on the person. I mean, some people enjoy it in the morning and then have a meditation afterwards and like feel like it's a perfect start to their day. Other people, like the end of the night, it's super relaxing, or like transition. Say you've been working all day and then you're coming home to your family and you're like, okay, like I need a moment to just like
give
be,
me a break.
Yeah, and just let go of those stresses of your day so you don't kind of take those out on your family or something like that, you know? So I have some clients who experience it that way. So I really enjoy it kind of at the end of their day. But you can also just do little bursts. I mean, with the little home portal, I keep it on my desk and sometimes I just do like a 5-minute refresher. And, you know, it's really opening that gateway between the conscious and subconscious. And so, you know, that can work in a lot of different ways. But one way it works is creativity. You know, sometimes we get stuck on like, you know, just working on the same thing all the time. And, you know, like, I can't figure this out, or like, what is the best solution? Or I can't decide between these two things. And just having a few minutes of light, I have found to be really, you know, helpful to break through those kind of creative blocks.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, I've done a bunch of podcasts and training with meditation people, mm-hmm. experts, and they always recommend maybe getting shorter bursts sometimes is more beneficial, like two 10-minute sessions is better than one 20-minute because mm-hmm. it just breaks it up and it just gives you more time to calm down more frequently. So these totally. Little 5-minute mini sessions sound like...
Yeah, they're great.
Delicious.
Yeah. And then the longer session, it takes about 20 minutes for your nervous system to really shift into that deep relaxation mode. And so that's also one of the really hallmarks of the experience that's super powerful is that, you know, we're really retraining your nervous system. So I really recommend doing a series of sessions because if you just have one experience, it's like, yeah, you get all the sacred geometry and colors and patterns, which is sensational and delicious and feels so fun. Yeah. And, you know, if you keep going deeper, you can go deeper into the, you know, visual and experiential moments, but you also really get the benefit of deep relaxation and retraining. You know, I have a client who actually is working with Lucia herself, her purchased one. She's going to open a meditation center. And she was just telling me lately, like, you know, she had a lot of anxiety before and, you know, trying to open this meditation center is very stressful, you know, ironically.
Any business is stressful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and she just found that she started doing a lot of sessions and she's really shifted. So people are like, you're different. Like there's something totally different about you. And she thinks it's the light and just how, you know, she even went to get cupping or something. And, you know, the guy was like, wow, your back is different. Like you're way more relaxed than I've ever seen you. And so like in these ways of being, you know, instead of like fighting the tide, it's just like understanding like, well, it's everything comes in its own time, you know? And that comes from a sense of relaxation, a deep sense of relaxation. It's not like the kind where you just stop, you know, worrying for a minute. It's like a deeper, like letting go. And that's the flow state. And that's where we want to get into because that's when the real magic happens. It's like when we're stressed and controlling and trying to figure things out and understand we're not like submitting ourselves to the greater flow of the universe. And sometimes that greater flow has all kinds of unexpected surprises that we wouldn't even be able to imagine for ourselves if we're trying to control it. So
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of this flow state that you're talking about. I try to get it whenever possible. One of the secret things that I do, I go to hot yoga a lot and I tell people all the time, I love it. I'm a huge fan of that. Uh-huh. And right towards the end of the 60 minutes, you know, we're doing the Shavasana, I'll start doing some kind of like secret Wim Hof breathing.
Oh, nice.
And in the heat, with the sweat, with the exhaustion, I'll kind of build up a little bit. And then right when the lights go down and the, you know, Shavasana time, I will get into this for like, maybe 5 to 10 seconds where I don't even know if I'm breathing in or out. Like I've totally checked out from everything. And that for me is worth the entire trip of going to the place, doing all that, just to get that little 10 seconds of just complete separation from the universe. It's an amazing thing. So this is the best way I can explain kind of like doing this is it's a bit easier. It's less exertion and it could be equally powerful where you're able to go into a happy place, maybe. I guess it could be, I mean, what kind of emotions or feedback do you get from people who do this? I mean, does it go both ways?
Yeah, I mean, actually, for the majority of people find happiness, you know, and peace. Like this deep sense of relaxation is definitely very hallmark response, but also, you know, just this deep peace. Some people want to start laughing and can't stop. But it can also bring up like, say you're holding an emotion just below the surface. You know, you kind of think of like a volleyball or a beach ball and you're trying to hold it underwater.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of effort. So first of all, thank you for letting it go. You know, if like it comes up, you know, people are like, no, I was trying to, you know, hold that down. It's like, stop, like just let it go. You know, we got to feel our emotions. So, you know, we can't not feel them. And when we feel them, we can move through them. It's like we were talking about today, the storm that we need to just be in and allow it to pass. And so I have found that, you know, say there's a deep grief or deep sadness that can come up.
Yeah.
But it's usually not like, oh my God, I'm bawling my eyes out now for like 3 days. It's more like it moves through. So it's really quickly, usually a couple minutes of like, wow, and then it moves beyond. Or interestingly, there's been a couple people, and I mean, this is out of thousands. So it's interesting to me in the greater picture because I'm used to seeing this joy and peace and happiness all the time. But I've had a few people have actually brought up anger, which is really interesting. And I think that's part of our society as well, where there's something where it's like not okay to be angry. And so maybe that if it's someone who's feeling a lot of anger, they're like hiding it because they're like, no, that's not okay to feel that. And, you know, it was kind of in the discussions we had with the two people who felt that was, you know, like what you know, it is okay. You know, they both thought it was wrong to feel that. And I think there's, yeah, and it's really interesting because I think when we kind of block something or say that something of the way we feel and are is wrong, then we're denying ourselves. And that denial process is actually way worse than feeling what we're feeling. So, you know, there's a lot of healthy ways to move the energy of anger, and underneath anger is sadness, you know? And so if, you know, sometimes we need to feel that anger and scream and, you know, shout and like all these old tribal practices, like it was just commonplace, like the dancing and the, you know, shouting and like all this stuff is just like really part of like being human. And it still is. And I think sometimes in our modern world, it's like, you know, there's that like slightly unhinged element to people in offices and everything, because it's like this little bit of anger that's escaping all the time. Or, you know, you're like, I was like driving here and I'm like in my little Shanti world of like singing my mantras and I'm like, oh, I'm feeling great. And people around me are just like really like, you're like, wow, if you let yourself get overwhelmed by the collective energy of driving and traffic, it's like really intense. And to me, it feels like this like slightly like unveiled anger. It's like not like full on, but yeah, it's like that like little like passive aggressive, like really intensely there, but like, you know, still holding back a little bit. And yeah, I feel like just let it out, you know, like just go somewhere and just get so angry. Cause it's like when you hold on to that little bit of anger all the time, just let it leaking out, then it's like really, I mean, it's affecting every level of your life. Your whole life is constricting, and, you know, and it's okay. It's, again, it's not bad to feel it, like that, you know, and when you do really feel it and really look at what's causing it, then you can make some bigger shifts in your life. Whereas if you're living with that kind of thing just under the surface, yeah, then I don't think it's as healthy for any part of your system.
So this sounds a lot like almost like therapy, like where there's like a catharsis of some sorts, but this isn't a medical device. And I know you guys make sure to state that it's not a medical device. You're not making any medical claims. So what is it doing, I guess?
A good question. So yeah, first of all, it's really interesting because it's so complex. Like I said, every single person has a different experience. And like you said, every time, even with the same session. So, you know, we don't really want to pigeonhole it. And the amazing doctors who created it, you know, really their intention was born out of helping people see what's beyond life. So it was actually created initially from Dr. Engelbert Winkler, had a near-death experience when he was quite young. And in this near-death experience, he went to the light and he interviewed tons of people. It was life-changing for him, and he found it was life-changing for all these other people. And he's like, wow, I mean, like, we have so much fear of dying. So how do we help people see that there's nothing to be afraid of? So that's kind of really interesting. So that's kind of the basis of where it started. And so he was using like solid light and trying to hypnotize people into having these like experiences of going to the light and all this stuff. And then enter Dirk Prockl, Dr. Dirk Prockl, neurologist, saying like, why don't we bring in flickering light? And then finding that combination was just otherworldly. And then the experiences, I mean, I'm more on the leaning on the spiritual side. And I do feel like personally from my understanding and feeling that there's a lot going on kind of behind the scenes or across the dimensions, so to say, with the Lucia light. You know, it's like you can just plug any light in and flash it and you will not have the same experience.
No, it's funny you say that, because I actually, after I tried it a few times, I had my cell phone at home and I was literally trying to load up YouTube videos of flickering lights and sticking. My wife was like, what's wrong with you, man? And I'm, like, I'm just trying to replicate this thing. But this is a very proven scientific designed instrument that you can't just replicate by looking at flickering lights or anything like
that. And I think there is like, you know, energy behind it too. So like the intention it was born from was really to help people to come into these, you know, expanded states of consciousness. And that's what it's really doing. So you can actually, if you're like, what is this? What is it doing? It's like you can actually compare it more to like a psychedelic, so like an entheogen without taking anything, which is pretty remarkable to have this type of experience, because, you know, as we were talking about before, it's like short, you know, you can stop it at any point. It's getting too intense. You just stop it or you just turn it down. You can't really do that once you've ingested an entheogen. And as well, it doesn't have any side effects. So, you know, some entheogens, for example, you have a serotonin spike and you can have a really like drop after that. And so for sensitive people, is that worth it? You know, it may be if you're working on really deep therapeutic issues, but it's not something that you want to do often. Whereas this is more kind of like a microdose in the sense that it's not always as psychedelic in terms of seeing all these visions and all these things. but it's actually working in a very similar way in your brain. So again, we were talking about the harmony, right? And also what it's doing is activating multiple different areas of your brain at the same time. And so it's really, and it's, they found that it's kind of lessening the default mode network. So the default mode network is a network in within your brain that helps you kind of do normal, you know, activities. And it's just like your reference point for a lot of parts of life. And so when that is really rigid, you know, you find, I was going to say Trump supporters, but that's not always the case. That was the first thing that rose to my mind, but I was able to laugh
it's
at
okay,
myself.
You're in California.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, but it's really, it's kind of like, if you think about it, it's someone who grew up in a small town. There's like they kind of a closed sense of reality. This is all that exists for them. And that can be in anything, but it can be like a very strict religion. It can be, you know, any kind of really strict way that's like, no, it's black and white. Yeah, this right or wrong, you know. And as we grow and have new experiences and all these things, and we can actually make that more flexible, right? And we can say like, well, actually, you know, I can see multiple perspectives here. Like, yeah, I can see how you think that's wrong, but I can also see how it is not wrong, you know. And like, so you can even start holding those multiple perspectives is a way of growing, right? And so we can create new neural pathways so that we can say, instead of just, you know, blaming someone or like going down certain, you know, one way street that was like right or wrong, and yeah, then we can start seeing multiple possibilities. So that's what this is also helping with, as we, you know, make the default mode network more flexible, create new neural connections within the brain. We're just open to more creativity, to evolution, really, of consciousness. And that's what I really feel like we're doing. We're on this epic pathway of evolving consciousness. And we don't have a choice. I mean, the earth needs us. We don't have a lot of time here, you know? Things are getting intense. And yeah, so I feel like the energy is building. And for people who can feel that, you know, there's these types of technologies that are helping us, you know, and that could be plant technology or light technology, right? But they're helping us remember who we are and what we're here to do, and that we're here to do more than just live in a mindless consumerist society. You know, like, we have a lot to do here. So I really feel like that's kind of what it is. And so, is that medical? No. I mean, this is more consciousness based. Have we had anecdotal results of people resolving kind of, we call them more like imbalances, you know, because we don't say like, oh, you're, you know, you're screwed. You're like, you deny your, you know, like, you know, say that you are identified as having depression, you know, like I've had depression. Am I a person with depression? No. You know, I think that's like first step is kind of identifying this as a current imbalance. So yeah, we've had all kinds of people with different imbalances find more of their, you know, homeostasis, like find their home. But we don't like to make it medical or even do too many like medical type studies, because we don't also want to lock it into a certain thing. It's, you know, it's a tool that's taking you beyond. So while it can work for specific imbalances, it's not treating anything. It's not. And also part of that is, you know, like the Viktor Frankl's kind of philosophy that, you know, we're all well, everything is good, you know, like there's nothing wrong. Like you're a perfect human being. Like, you know, we're really hypercritical, especially with ourselves, a lot of people. And ultimately that, you know, being that hypercritical and finding all these things can create physical imbalances within the body. Yeah. But if we go back to the fact that at some level, you're perfect. You know what I mean? And we're just trying to restore that. Yeah. So we're not trying to like focus on fixing anything, just like reminding you of what's already good and well and there. Yeah. And that perfect state of wellness and health that is always present, that we can always tap into. And that's what we can do kind of on a consciousness plane. So to make it a medical device and have protocols and procedures and different types of, you know, clients, it isn't really like what we're going for.
Not to mention the whole FDA and regulations and testing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's funny you mention that, because if you talked to me 10 years ago and about this kind of stuff, I would have been in that bubble that you mentioned where, you know, I'm just focused on consumerism and career and, you know, success and the material stuff. But these days I'm much more open. And I think it's because of the biohacking stuff, because of becoming more aware of things. And I've had some traumas in life that have just shifted me and things like this. And I did an episode on what's called pulse centers, was PEMF, where energy is being drawn to certain physical areas of pain or mental. And all of these are very attractive to me because they are literally energy devices, whether it's light, whether it's magnetic fields, whether it's water, like the, I mean, I don't want to list a bunch of products here, but yeah, all these things are taking these elements that are so fundamental. Mm-hmm. And when we are literally electric beings and water and magnetism and energy, that's it, and light. So speaking of also the experience, I was watching some other people do it, mm-hmm. and they were saying, wow, this light is amazing. It shooting out all these lights and doing all this stuff. But then the facilitator is saying, no, it's all coming from you. You're amazing. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, right? Mm-hmm. You're really just letting the person open up, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's our real philosophy. And that's what it really is. You know, it's just white light. So there's a white flashing light on you. Doesn't look very remarkable from the outside. People are always like, in the beginning, when I first got into this, I was so into it. And everyone was like, so confused. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're like having a strobe party or something. And I'm like, no,
it's a whole different thing.
I can't describe it. So, you know, you see people laying under flashing lights, but what, you know, they experience is so unique and special. So whether it's a colors or patterns or fractals or spirals or images or whatever you see or experience is totally your own creation.
And you, it's coming out of your mind and your psyche, your brain, your pineal gland, whatever you want to call it. It's all coming generated from within you. It's not coming from that light through some kind of projection or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's what's really special about it. You know, you can watch, you know, screensaver or something and some kind of freak programmed, you know, like at a concert when they have some kind of cool fractal thing. And, you know, it's cool to an extent and it's art, but this is neuro art because you're creating, you know,
you're the artist.
You're the artist. And some of the most beautiful things you'll ever see are within you.
Yeah.
And you can see how you're kind of recalibrating and changing and adapting to the different rhythms of the light. And that's the force of life. You get like a chance to see life and yourself from a different perspective.
Okay, so speaking of life and death, mm-hmm. and the light, when, from what I understand, that the highest amounts of DMT is when we're born, mm-hmm. and when we die, and mm-hmm. we get this, when people say going towards the light,
mm-hmm.
people have compared this to DMT type experiences, plant-based medicine, ayahuasca, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How does this kind of compare to that journey?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, actually, at one point, there was a meme that said DMT without DMT, and it had the light flashing, and I was like, oh, great, here we go.
Was there a cat there as well?
Something like that. But I got like about 100 emails of people like, what is this? You know, and I'm like, okay, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
First of all, this is light. So it's important to acknowledge that, you know, we're looking into seeing, and we do believe, although we haven't been able to prove it yet, that some DMT is probably released. But DMT can also be released in childbirth and extreme sports. And breath work, even.
Yeah,
you know,
I do a lot of breath work and I get a lot of this kind of, just like with that at the end of the yoga, I swear there must be something going on because I literally check out for just a little brief period in time. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's different ways to kind of stimulate this kind of DMT release, and it's really hard to measure because it actually disappears so fast in your bloodstream, you know, mm-hmm. within like 10 minutes. So, you know, I was talking to one researcher and they were like, okay, we'd have to like, you know, pull it out of them and quickly analyze it in the lab at the moment and to get the, you know,
or dissect their brain. Well,
yeah, exactly. A little difficult. Some people are like, oh, is it decalcifying the pineal gland? I'm like, well, we haven't really looked at any bodies of people who've been working with the light. Maybe after I die, I'll give my body to science because I've done a lot of light sessions. But
yeah, you should have a nice juicy pineal gland.
Right? Yeah, for sure. But you know, we can't prove those kind of things. It's really difficult to measure those in science. So yeah, but in terms of comparing the experience, first of all, I hate comparisons because I think that everything's unique. And if you have to compare it, I think that you could almost say it's more like a microdose or like a lower experience. Again, it's so different for every person, so it's really hard to say.
Yeah.
You know, I have people who have tried it and they're like, oh my God, that was exactly like ayahuasca. Like I could smell, you know, like yeah, everything.
Yeah.
I could taste the ayahuasca in my mouth. I could smell the Palo Santo that wasn't even there, you know. It was just kind of like some people go right there. And for other people, they're like, oh, it's lights, you know. It was relaxing.
Are there some people that just are just non-responders? They're just like, oh, just lights.
Some people, I mean, every once in a while, there's someone who's just like, it was relaxing. I mean, everyone gets relaxed. So that's the thing. It's just
kind of. Does anyone fall asleep?
Good question. Yeah. Some people do. And some people get so relaxed. It seems like they are. It's funny if I do group experiences and we don't have headphones, because just happened the other night. There's like people snoring.
Yeah,
and some people get really incensed about that. They're like, oh my God, that person's snoring. You know, I'm like trying to relax over here. And I'm like, okay, check, 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 let go. You know, but you know, sometimes your breath actually just becomes so deep. And then you're like, oh, you're sleeping or snoring. And the person is like, no, I wasn't, but I was gone. You know, so whether it's a deep delta state, which is really powerful for healing, whether they're on an astral journey and they're just kind of unaware of it, they'll very strongly deny that they were sleeping. Yeah. Every once in a while, like in a great blue moon, we do have someone who falls asleep. Usually it's interesting because there's kind of a closing at the session. The last couple of minutes, most people kind of come back into awareness, mm-hmm. and whatever that means, and being like, oh, I'm in this light, and you know, or like just even more in their body or something at the end. And sometimes for people, like just as it's turning off, they just drop out in really deep sleep. And so it's usually right about when it's turning off, which is, you know, if you're giving sessions, a bunch of sessions in a row, you're like, okay, here we go. So you don't want to like interrupt them, because that's probably a really powerful moment of relaxation. Wow. But after a few minutes, it's like, okay, maybe we can turn the music on and off or something. But yeah, so occasionally people do fall asleep. And I have found with, say, like, you know, really busy doctors I've tried giving sessions to in the middle of their day, and they're like, yeah, well, yeah, this will be great. It's like the second it turns on, they're so exhausted and depleted. They just pass out the second it turns on, because there's like, there's no room in your system. It's almost like we're lucky to have this chance to experience hypnagogia, right? The state between being awake and being asleep. And that's a really beautiful thing. And for two types of people, like people with extreme trauma, it seems like they have to have, they have a lot of issue like staying in that hypnagogic state. Like it's kind of like a not safe zone. Ooh. You know, like bodies either like, this is kind of my theory, but it's like bodies either like on or off, you know, you're like awake or you're asleep.
Do you think it's like loss of control, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. And kind of that, you know, it's like, I mean, that's a dreamy, super relaxed. Yeah, first of all, have to be really relaxed.
Well, you're going to be in a very suggestive state as well,
and
too.
And a suggestive state.
And that could be vulnerable right there.
Exactly. And maybe you have sleep paralysis, or you like leave your body and your body's, you know, not safe. If your spirit, body, you know, everyone doesn't feel safe, like you're not going to get into this like dreamy, relaxed, mellow state, you know?
That sounds great to me. I don't know.
Yeah. But also I think there's, you know, and that is, it is a great state to be in. Yeah. And so that's why I say it's almost like a privilege to be able to experience that, because, you know, for, you know, and that's why I think going back to sleep, you know, sometimes people have these like lucid dreams when they go back to sleep or something, because it's kind of that half, you know, more hypnagogic kind of reality. But I have found with people with a lot of trauma that either they just fall asleep, or if they do shift in that state, it's euphoric because they haven't experienced it so long, like kind of my situation where I was like, I did go to that half awake state, but it was like so epic, you know, because I hadn't really experienced that for so long. I'd be like exhausted, nightmares, like trying to get to sleep, trying to wake up, you know, or just like finally if I'm asleep, then it's, you know, it seems way too short and I have to get up again, or, you know, it's this kind of endless thing. So I think, yeah, for some people, and if they're really hyperextended, you know, if you're, I find it's, again, it's balancing, right? Because it's like if someone's depressed and they're, you know, just can't do anything but sleep, and they're just home and they just can't get going. Like I've seen people just show, like they do the light and they have so much energy. They're like bouncing off the walls. They just come out of there like, I feel amazing. Like I'm huge. Like, oh my gosh, the world, there's so much to do and like see and like, you know, and so that it's coming back to themselves, right? That's who they are. We're expansive, excited beings. Remember yourself when you were a kid and how absolutely mind-blowingly exciting it was to do all these new things.
And you were present when you were a kid too.
Absolutely.
You weren't thinking about the past or worrying about the future. You were just being, and you were full of energy. And
yeah,
if we could replicate that, sign me up. I'm in, you know?
Yeah, totally. And so that's why I think these types of experiences, you know, and meditation and mindfulness, all these things are kind of leading towards the same thing, right? Which is that flow state, that perfectly aware and like just loving like reality state where things just flow through you. And not to say that everyone's in flow state all the time, but there's these nice flows that we get in that are incredible. And I think this really helps with that and really helps remind you that that's always accessible, you know, because sometimes we get so deep in our loops or whatever, and stress and frustration and blame and guilt and shame and all these things that like you lose sight of the fact that at any moment it can change. And like, you know, yeah, stuff happens. We learn lessons, right? And we can be grateful for those lessons, or we can hold on to the pain and the misery, you know, and let that continue to define our life and define what frequency we're, you know, attracting things at, because where we're at is what we're calling in. So, you know, and that's the thing with kids. They keep coming back to that beautiful moment of now, you know, like mad for a second. And then it's like next moment, oh, wait, what's that over there? Oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. So
excellent. Yeah. Okay. So speaking of sleep, I guess this could be kind of a almost like a little power nap, I guess, if you do a little 20-minute session and just
totally
check out, wake up and good to go. As far as feedback that you've heard from people who've done it and who had sleep problems, you know, either insomnia or anxiety or waking up a bunch of times at night, what have you heard from people?
Yeah. So I've definitely found, you know, like my own situation was kind of amazing. And with some other people as well, if you have a lot of serious insomnia, the first Lucia session, as you said, you know, so powerful, and it can really shift things. I mean, you can have a night of sleep after that. It's unlike any night before. But, you know, I had one guy I remember once in San Diego who tried it and he hadn't slept for months and stuff. So he was just like raving. He was just over there the next day, just like, how do I get one of these? Like, and I was like, well, this isn't like the solution, you know? So it's important to remember, at least in terms of what this offers in sleep, like sleep is a whole ecosystem, right? There's a whole range of factors that affect how you're going to sleep.
Yeah.
And so this can actually help you shift your nervous system to give you the chance to sleep. But if you're just like looking at your phone all day long and right before you go to bed, like maybe the next night you don't sleep as well, you know? And so it's not like a magic pill. And I think that also for me personally, my opinion is that sometimes there's deeper issues, right? So sometimes it's like, it can start bringing to awareness the fact that, hey, maybe it's not good to watch TV for hours or whatever it is that's a kind of a in your life ecosystem that's affecting you on some level. But if you're not actually ready, willing, and able to make those changes, then ultimately it's going to come back, right? Yeah. So maybe it will help you for a little bit, but and it definitely can shift you, especially if you just need to get that deep relaxation. And for people who are doing the work and have created healthy ecosystems in their life, but maybe still have a lot of stress, absolutely, it can really help you sleep. But it's no magic pill.
It's no magic pill. And that goes with just about anything in life.
Yeah.
It is, you know, maybe it's a lifestyle awareness tool as well too.
Absolutely.
A lot of people come to me and say, you know, how do I get sleep like you? And they think, well, what should I take? What pill is it? Or what supplement? Or how do I get more REM sleep or more deep sleep? I'm like, it's not so compartmentalized as you think. It's the sum of the whole. It's the stop playing with the phones, stop eating too late, you know, get some exercise, get some sun, have a consistent sleep-wake cycle, circadian rhythm resets, all these different things will factor into getting a good night's sleep. Then add on, you know, red light therapy or PEMF or Lucia or whatever. These are all kind of almost like supplements.
Absolutely.
But it's not just one thing, like you said there. So speaking of using this thing, is this something that is for sale to the public, or do you need to go somewhere to get it done? How do you recommend somebody who's listening to say, hey, this sounds interesting, I want to kind of learn more about this, what do I do?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're here in LA. It kind of depends where you are. I'm sure you have a lot of listeners within LA. Mm-hmm. A really cool center is coming soon called Into Me See, and they're going to have flotation tanks, which is also definitely cool to check out if you haven't heard of those.
Are.
And they have some other really amazing things coming, but they also will have two Lucia number threes, and she's going to be doing group sessions and kind of yoga with Lucia and all kinds of amazing ways to experience Lucia there, but that's not quite open yet. It'll be a few more months. In the meantime, we do, Jessica, who you mentioned earlier, and I are doing kind of home visits and different, we can do, you know, parties, we can do all kinds of things if you
instead
want
to. Instead of Botox parties, light parties these days, and conscious gatherings, yeah.
Exactly, or visits. So there's ways to experience it. And, you know, surprisingly, there aren't really many in the LA area yet. So it's just kind of catching on over here. It's a bunch in Europe, you know, all over, spread out throughout the country. So you can check out my website, lucialightexperience.com. And if you look at book a session, you'll see the list of where they're at, but there's not that many of them. And you could definitely purchase one yourself. That's always a possibility.
We can talk about the entry here to it.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's definitely a hefty price tag. And the reason for that is, you know, as we were speaking of before, that it's a truly conscious technology, and the fact that it's made in Austria, it's made in small batches, it's using local materials, all the metal and everything has been found locally and as often discarded from other types of, you know, creation. So it's pretty cool because it's, you know, very eco-conscious, and it's also, you know, the workers get living wages. So a lot of these kind of modern tech things, it's interesting to me because I'm like, okay, where is this made? Like, you know, it's like, oh, it's this $29 wearable that's going to help you with your anxiety. And it's like, it's so conscious. And then it's like, okay, it's, you know, in the slave factories in China, and, you know,
it's so the
like,
energy that went behind making it is already bad. And then you're going to.
Yeah. Well, and you're just supporting something, you know, it's like, and then it breaks like 2 weeks later. And so anyway, it's again, and it's, you know, so it is a big investment, but for us, it's like, it's energy, right? And so it's like, if you really want to do this for yourself and for your health and you find it this amazing, you know, go for it. Otherwise you can find a place to do it and they're becoming more popular, or you can share it with others, you know, which is kind of how it was designed. So they really designed the practitioner system to be a practitioner system. Like the original intention was just, yeah, they're expensive because it's a tool for professionals and, you know, it's a powerful tool. You know, it's like you're calling it a digital shaman. So yeah, you got to take it with, you know, a little bit of seriousness. It's not just like a party toy. You know, this is something that people have deep transformational experiences with. And then more recently, they came out with a home portal, which is a home unit. Still not cheap, but definitely you get
more
what you pay for.
I guess.
More accessible. And yeah, and this is the kind of technology that will be an heirloom. You know, it'll be passed down. The engineer who created it was proudly told me that if you buried it underground for 100 years, you could take it out and it'd still work. So this is kind of the ethos and method we're going for. And absolutely, there's a price for it, but it's been absolutely life-changing for me working with it. And yeah. I know that, you know, it's not like there's a bunch of used ones on the market or anything. It's like people love it. You know, it's something that brings so much joy to you and everyone around you.
I got to say, I'm a little bit envious of what you get to do. You get to travel all over the country, all over the world, and introduce people to this. You're making them happy. You're making them more aware, more conscious, leaving them with an experience. I've talked about this before, and I'm sure you can appreciate it. A lot of technology, a lot of biohacking, a lot of things out there make lots of statements and claims or pills and, oh, try it, take this and you're going to feel great. Well, some of the stuff out there is I'm like, I shouldn't have spent the money on that. But I'm into experiences these days and things that will move me, whether it's like these alpha stim that we tried on you can actually feel these things. They're visceral.
Totally.
And this is in that same kind of category where, you know, you're going to have an experience. Whether you like it or not, most of the time you'll like it. Unlike plant-based medicine, sometimes if it's not an experience you are liking, you can stop this. That you can't stop that train until it wants to stop. So
yeah,
I would recommend people out there who are interested in learning more about this to, like you said, go online, do some searches, find someone or somewhere that has one and experience it first to see if it's something you're even wanting to go down even more. And then at that point, you can start to make the decision.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to be scared off of the big price tag because it could be an experience. And you know, you can set up a series of experiences too, which is what we really recommend. Yeah. So if you're interested in diving into it, you know, try about 6 sessions and see where you go and see how deep you can go too.
And it's painless. So. There's nothing to swallow. There's nothing to inject, no IV, no needles, none of that. It's literally just sit down, lay down and look at a light, which is, I love that. I'm not a big fan of needles. So, and I'm a doctor, which is weird.
Yeah.
But okay. So if people want to go learn more again, they could go to that website. What is it called?
LuciaLightExperience.com.
LuciaLightExperiences.com. And you have an Instagram as well?
Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram, Traveling Light Machine.
Traveling Light Machine. I love that name. I love what you're doing, Allison. You're a sweetheart. Thank you so much for coming over, spending the night with me at my house, demoing the machine. I've had some friends over. We had a little light party earlier. Mm-hmm. Everybody was loving it. Thank you for sharing this technology with everybody as well, too. And I encourage everyone to go out there and check this thing out. And we'll talk soon. Thanks, Allison.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Wow. Hey, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that episode. What an amazing technology and an amazing tool. It's a little bit hard to describe over audio here, but I would really recommend you doing a little research, checking her company out online, or even just watching some YouTube videos of people getting this done, and it will blow you away. And if you have an opportunity to try it, I highly recommend you try it. The best part about this is no drugs, no alcohol, no hangover, no carbs. It's keto friendly. And it's totally, you're in control. As soon as it's done, it's done. There's no like long-winded ride that you need to stay on. It's quick and easy and very powerful and transformative. So anyways, Thanks again for tuning in, making it all the way to the end of the show. I appreciate your listenership. And if you want to learn more about me, like I mentioned in the beginning, you can follow me on Instagram at sleepbiohacker, where I share all my tips, tricks, and videos of things like this. Again, that's sleepbiohacker on Instagram. And please feel free to share this with anyone you think might be interested in learning more, either about this or any other ways they can optimize their sleep and their health and their well-being. So with that said, see you next time, and I hope you have the best night ever.
This broadcast is for informational purposes only. Statements and views expressed in this show are not medical advice. The show, including Dr. Jay Corsandi, the co-host, guest, and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of any information contained herein. Opinions of the guests are their own. We do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests, nor do we make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. If you think you have a medical problem, please consult a licensed physician.